In Christ, God entered creation to save it. We enter the gospel through our life experiences. If you take a look at the stained glass windows now or some other time, you'll see St. Francis and also the cross up there, St. Francis entering the gospel through his life experiences. Over there you see him giving away all his possessions, giving away his clothes, because that's what Christ said to do and to follow him. The stigmata, to be with Christ, you see that. And we do that. We live our life experiences and we enter the gospel. So one way to know a person is to know about their life's circumstances. So we could think about Christ and his life circumstances. If you get to know somebody, you know, you're wondering, well, where were you born? You know, where did you grow up? Where do you work? Where did you work? So if we take a look at Jesus, we know he was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. And if you wanted to say one place where he worked, it would have been Capernaum. To give you an idea of scale and entering into the story, Capernaum is about the same distance from here to Mandeville. It's about 27 miles away. So we're talking about the Sea of Galilee. Well, Matthew called it a sea, and I think the Jews called it a sea, but Luke, that saw a little bit more of the world, he called it a lake. The Sea of Galilee is a little bit smaller than Lake Maupaw. So, okay, we're getting a flavor of things. So the historians talked about what the people of Galilee were like. So they were very open-minded. They also had very quick tempers, and they did a lot of fishing and farming there. They also lived on the frontier. So what Isaiah is referring to in that reading, and we're seeing it in a different way now, seeing it realized through Christ, that Galilee and those two particular tribes were at the frontier. So what happened in Isaiah's time, the Assyrians had really destroyed them, a land of gloom. But it was that way in that Galilee since the very beginning. When those two tribes initially came there, and part of their open-mindedness and quick to fight has to do with how they started out. They were known as a people that scorned death, that laughed death in the face. Well, let's put ourselves into that. We kind of live at the frontier too. Maybe not frontier with foreign languages, foreign countries, but we live at the frontier of the sea. You know, we get a lot of our livelihood from the sea, but at the same time, we fight it. And people wonder, just like probably, why do you live in Galilee? That's a place that's always overrun. You know, people ask me when I leave here, why do you want to live in a city beneath the sea? But you know, it makes our character different too, and this is part of entering the gospel. You could tell somebody is from New Orleans, believe it or not, if you go to other places in the country, by the way they dance, by the way they move, by the way they love life. There's something different of living so close to the edge that changes you like that. I grew up on the edge of town. And so when I came home, and it was a dark farming community, we lived on a farmhouse at the end of town, I could see the lights of that farmhouse, and I knew that I was home. The right place to put a light in many ways is right at the edge. It tells you when you're coming home that that's home. It tells the world this is a light to the world so that everybody sees this. Everybody sees how beautiful that is. And in the gospel, what we're talking about, the light, is God's amazing grace. So I'm going to take a look at the gospel and the epistle from Paul and talk to you about how the church is both intimate and universal to the world, being at the boundary, and at home. So Jesus took the core of his apostles from Galilee. They were brothers, they were friends, they did fishing. It reminds me of an oil rig crew that I had, all Cajuns from Cutoff. So if one of them was in trouble with the sheriff at the heliport, the other guys are going to cover for him. I knew I was going to be covered, but a very intimate, very tight group. And this is who Jesus called. And it was very unusual for a rabbi to choose apostles or chooses disciples. They normally just showed up, like John and Andrew did for John the Baptist. This was different. Jesus was intentionally doing this. So it wasn't a very diverse group, but it was a very personal, intimate one. They were all Jewish. There was no women. I wouldn't say that they were scholars. There was no Europeans or Africans, and they were not world travelers. But it was a tight group. But the church is both personal and for the world we live in. The world we live in universally and the world that we locally live in, our own type of Galilee. So let's take a look at Corinth. Here, Paul is responding to Chloe. Chloe, a woman, was a leader of the community. And she said, there's something wrong here. We need to work on this. And Paul was different, as we could tell from the other apostles. His father was Roman. He was cosmopolitan. And he was an incredible scholar. Elsewhere in Corinth, he explains this even farther about our roles that we of spreading this church into these individual little local communities. Paul said in Corinth later, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave growth. There's many kinds of church families, and God creates and places each of those families beautiful in the world and in history. I think you know, especially your parents with kids and those that appreciate your parents, that the main teacher of the faith is the family. It's very personal. And the church should be intimate like that, but always welcoming. If we went to Ethiopia and we saw the church out there, and it really reflected more what Ethiopians look like in their entering of the gospel, I think we'd really enjoy that. Because what it would show is, in respecting other people's intimacy with God, we realize our own. We realize how to see the face of Christ in everyone that we meet. So there's a lot of these individual communities. A priority for Pope Francis has been Christian unity. For the past 2 years, he's made videos to that. I had the translation, it's actually in Spanish. But the video shows a lot of different Christian churches working together on service and community projects. And he's talking over that, those words, and trying to bring Christians together. And some of the words he said, translated into English, that all Christians may be faithful to the Lord's teaching by prayer and fraternal charity, strive to restore ecclesial community, and collaborate to meet the challenges facing humanity. He sent this out last week. He did something like this last year. So what are we called to do? Like Father said, we're called to pray for Christian unity, to again be a truly universal church. And what kind of practice do we do to accomplish that? What do we do to work towards that restoration that the Pope and us seek? I think we should be welcoming. I think we should be pragmatic. I think, like the Galileans, we should be open-minded and fearless, and we should evangelize by our life example. We should seek to find commonality with other Christians in God and the task, the great task we have ahead. We need to build and continue to build a strong faith base with our family, with our friends, with our parishioners, with our intimate church. We need to respect others' intimacy in their search for God. So we did the long reading today. I know that could be tiring. I think it was a little tiring on the altar servers. But what was in there was the apostles' special calling. They quit being fishermen. They quit being those rig hands that lived along cut off. If you ask what those guys do, they always tell you, I hunt and fish. That's what their life is about. But they left that behind to become fishers of men. So they took that great intimacy that they had and they magnified it in God. They did it for this greater intimacy with God and the whole human family. We're not apostles. But we are called to be greater. We are called to a greater intimacy. We're called not to be small and small-minded. Our calling is to enter the gospel with a teachable heart. And grace will shape us, and we in turn will shape the world. God will give the church growth, as Paul said. God will make the church universal to all people.